It's CYA Day here at the Revelation Series, CYA. I listened to my own show yesterday, and I just don't want you to think I'm a lush 3 to 4 glasses of wine a day. Let me show you in the laundry can what I consider a glass of wine. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, CYA. I fill this wine glass with water. Now, if you look at that, it does look like white wine. It looks like a little Chardonnay here, but no, it's H2O. But you know, when you pour a glass of wine when a sophisticate pours a glass of wine, you don't pour it to the top. You have to have room to swirl it, like you're seeing now on the laundry cam. All right, you have to swirl it because that aerates it. It gets a little oxygen in there, okay? And if you fill it to the top, it's very bad, very gauche, very wrong to do that. That you don't have room. So, you know, 3 of these is, it's enough to give you a nice little buzz. But that's a glass of wine to me. So I think I drank an entire glass. All right, covered that. Now, the other thing I want to cover myself on is, you know, part of my work ethic, I talked about Clyde's work ethic, how great it was, and I kind of dismissed mine, but I didn't mean to totally kick myself, because part of my work ethic is working out, and I have a problem with this once in a while, that I spend so much time, like, taking care of my physical frame, and I know that these frames are destined to go, and I shared this concern of mine with a friend the other day. I said, you know, I probably spend 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours a day, taking care of my body, running, getting ready to run, going to the gym, driving to the gym, working out, driving back from the gym, showering. It's a necessary part of everything, showering. And this friend of mine was having her own health issues, and she said, Martin, you have to keep doing that. It is part of your clarity of mind. It is part of your work. She said, when my body starts to fail, it's hard sometimes to concentrate, and you find that your thoughts are kind of wandering. And she said, listen, as long as your body works, work it. So that was comforting to me, and I give this information to you. It's not a waste of time. I've heard people say over the years, I've worked out regularly since I was 15 years old. Probably in that span of time, from the time I was 15 years old till today, it's probably only been a period maybe of 3 months where I didn't do anything. And it's like, I just fall apart. People tell me, Martin, I don't have time to work out. I don't have time. Listen, I don't care if you're working 15 hours a week. Well, yeah, okay, that would be rough. I don't care. I mean, 15 hours a day. No, if you're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, that's rough. But you have to make time for this. You have to. I don't care what it takes. I used to get up at 4 in the morning, if that's what it took. I would get up at 4 in the morning. Or when I worked at a hospital 3 miles away, I would run to the hospital. I would bicycle to the post office. So I would make my working out practical. And so it's easier to find the time then. You have to make time to take care of this temple, if you're able to. I don't know if I shared this with you. I might have just shared it with my friend, that I was running down the sidewalk in Fort Lauderdale the other day, and a guy in a wheelchair said, use it while you can. And I thanked him for that as we passed each other. You know, it's just great advice. Use it while you can. Not everybody can use their body anymore, and I know people who can, and it's terrible. So, that is part of my work ethic. And I have to look at it as contributing directly to the evangel. It keeps my mind clear. Keeps me making sense for a living here from the laundry room. I don't like doing it. They always tell me when I go to Planet Fitness, I join Planet Fitness because when I travel, I can use the gym anywhere, any Planet Fitness gym in the United States. They always say, enjoy your workout. And whenever I turn around from that, they scan your keys, enjoy your workout. I turn around, my eyes are rolling like, enjoy your workout. What the hell are you talking about? I've never enjoyed a workout, ever. Whether running or in the gym, never have I enjoyed a workout. It's like taking cod liver oil. It's a necessary evil. I feel great when I'm done, but when I'm in it, I'm just really wanting to be done with it. It's taking medicine. I see these people, they show pictures of people running and they're smiling. It's like, who are these lunatics? I never smile when I'm working out, when I'm running. It's no fun at all. Covered those bases, see why I ate it. So now I'm going to read an email I got from a saint. And a saint, by the way, of course, is not someone who's pure and holy, although this person probably is pure and holy, unlike myself. But a saint is merely someone separated to God. Hi, Martin. God had always separated the chosen Israel from the nations. This person's making the distinction, as I have, between Israel and the nations, Peter and Paul. Love this. The nations were alone and without God in this world. They did go through an era of that. And when Jesus came, we see in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, that Jesus continued that by stating, I came not but for the Jews, or I came only for the lost sheep of Israel. Both Peter and Jesus referred to the nations as dogs. They were that distinct and identifiable. This is a great email. I continue it. Jesus had 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a huge point, and I'm upset at myself for not bringing it up to you. But that's why this person wrote me. Jesus had 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel. He chose one apostle for the one body of Christ. There's one body of Christ, one apostle. It's Paul. 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel. Great little analogy. I never quite saw that. Why would God use the one apostle to teach kingdom truths when he had 12 of them who could do it? And in fact, it's essential that the circumcision gospel has 12 apostles. 12 is the magic number. When Judas hung himself and the apostles were 11, nothing happened. They were idled. They were made of none effect during this time, and it was when Matthias replaced Judas that the power came in again. It's like when you're missing a battery. Say you have a toy that needs four AA batteries. And you say, well, I got three in there. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not going to work if you have only three AA batteries in a four AA battery toy. All right, you got to have four batteries. Keep that in mind, all you people with battery-operated toys out there. You need four, you give it four. Paul had a singular message, and it did not preclude the Jews. It did include everyone. Here's the place where some people might trip up with Paul. Well, see, it's Jews and Greeks, so it's the one message. No, it's not the same message as the circumcision. The reason this writer here says it did not preclude the Jews is that the Jews could embrace Paul's gospel, but when they did, they gave up their national identity. It didn't mean they were no longer physical Jews in the flesh. They still had their birth certificates, they still had their genealogy, but it was no longer an advantage to them. They became one body, one body. From 1 Corinthians, radical truth, it's deadly truth to Peter. Peter has to show his Jew card to get into the kingdom. Jesus himself will show his Jew card when he enters the kingdom because he is from the tribe of Judah, and he will be a priest, the chief priest. And you might ask, how could Jesus be a chief priest? Priests must come from Levi, and Jesus was from Judah. Well, don't you know that the priesthood is going to be transferred from the Aaronic priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood. In the Melchizedek priesthood, you can be from Judah, it's no problem. And the Melchizedek priesthood predates the Aaronic priesthood, so we have recourse in the scriptures for this. I did that whole thing in my Hebrews series, which you can find at martinzender.com. Scroll down the left-hand side of the page, look for New Zender Sheridan Show. I do a whole audio series on Hebrews. Is it surprising, the writer continues, that Paul was instructed to go to both the Jews and the nations with this new message? And you see, at the beginning, this also confuses people. This belongs, what I'm about to tell you, belongs to the current era. Paul did have a dual ministry when he came out of the gate because he would go to the synagogues, and it was his passion then to talk to his brothers according to the flesh, to tell them that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus was taught by the resurrected Christ. And Christ said, you are going to go to Jews and to kings and to the Greeks and to the nations. So Paul would go to the synagogues and he would try to tell them that Jesus is the Messiah. And he would argue strenuously and he would use all the Old Testament passages that Jesus Christ really sparked in him, turned the light on for him. Suddenly he saw Christ everywhere, saw him in the Psalms, saw him in Isaiah, saw him in Ezekiel. I'm sure he saw the new temple in Ezekiel and saw the suffering Messiah in Isaiah. And he saw the times in Daniel and the times that would announce the coming of Christ. And so he was so excited to tell his brethren, just like you are, when you get the truths of the salvation of all, you want to tell people, you want to tell your family members. Well, that's what Paul did. So he went to the synagogue. This is the Messiah, the one we've been looking for. I didn't know it was him. I went for quite some time as a raving lunatic. In fact, I was in Jerusalem while Jesus was doing his thing, and I personally rejected him, but I've come to see the light. And so he liked going to the synagogues and putting himself out there. But then, after he was in the synagogue, he had a dual ministry for a while. Then he would go across the street to a house of the Gentiles, and he would herald his gospel. He's not going to herald his gospel in the synagogue at a formal gathering. Paul's not going to do that. But he did take Jews to himself, like after the meeting. This what I'm telling you starting now is not in scripture, but this is my official Zender theory on this, is that Paul took individual Israelites, and when he got them on the side, at the coffee shop, at the bar, after the synagogue meeting, he would say, have you ever heard of this? I mean, I know you've never heard of this. You've never heard of this. But the cross meant much more than just the forgiveness of the sins of Israel. And he probably would tell individual Israelites, such as, who's some of his Israelite buddies? Luke. Apollos was a Greek, Israelite buddies. He mentions some saints from the circumcision who he talked to personally. He might have talked to Peter personally about his evangel, and Peter was like, I've heard enough of that. Peter backed off it, because Peter was not going to jump ship. Peter recognized the legitimacy of Paul, but he was not going to jump ship. But it was important for Peter to understand at least the outskirts of it. Back to this great email that I got. So Paul went to the nations with his full-blown message. He laid it on them. He laid on them justification, laid on them conciliation. He laid on them the new creation. He laid on them that Jesus Christ was the Savior of all humanity. You never heard that in Israel. I promise that this is not Chardonnay. I promise. I don't need alcohol to get rid of the filters and be myself and talk about the truth and channel the innermost parts of my being and let it out to you. I don't need alcohol to do that. I can do that by the Spirit of God. It's in the spirit of humanity, in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of having no confidence in the flesh. It's only, I'll tell you this, having no confidence in the flesh is better than any alcohol I have ever had. It is so freeing. It is so liberating. It's the only reason I can do what I'm doing here with you and in front of a podium. By the way, we sent out an email announcing to you that the conference talks from Birmingham, Alabama were available. If you did not get that memo, I'm going to have my sister Kelly put a link underneath this page to the conference videos in Birmingham, Alabama. So anyway, yeah, I don't need booze to be uninhibited. I just need to know that you're not here to listen to me. You're here to listen to what God would have to say through me, or in this case, through this email that I received. The transition period was perilous for Paul, I'm quoting now from the email. The transition period, this is so true. The transition period was perilous for Paul. That's the transition from Israelite stuff to body of Christ stuff. for the nations. He even had to convince the 12 and argued with Peter. Now, this is the reason I think that the Acts 28 people invented Acts 28. They had to explain some of the things that was happening with Paul during the transition period. Paul's borrowing a few Israelite things. At the same time, he's moving the body of Christ on with his unique teaching. Paul had to get them, that is, the 12, on board so that there was harmony among himself and the 12. Because if Peter had rejected Paul out of hand, it would have been hard for Paul to get a foothold. But even some of the nations knew Peter. Peter was famous. And so it was really important for Paul to have at least the right hand of fellowship, to have the acknowledgement of Peter. More importantly than the nations recognizing that, more importantly would be the acceptance of the inner circle of the circumcision. Paul didn't get his message from them. It's very clear in Galatians chapter 1 that he did not get his message from Peter. He did not get his message from James. He did not get his message from any human being. He got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. But at least it kept many of the Jews from killing Paul right off the bat. Well, Peter likes him, so keep your hands off Paul. Otherwise, he would be branded a heretic or crazy by God's remnant, and they would have obstructed the progress of his God-given message. See there? This is a beautiful email. They would have obstructed it. They would have sabotaged Paul. But as it was, Paul got the right hand of fellowship because this is a nice guy. And plus, Peter said, look, this guy's legit. I talked to him myself. We had dinner together. He definitely saw Jesus Christ. And this new message he's talking about, I confirm it in my spirit. It's not for us. We're not going to jump ship. But yeah, it's a legitimate message. Paul had generations of separation teaching to overcome. I'm not sure what that sentence means. Anyway, that he would use unifying language in some cases as he went to the Jews first and then the Gentiles does not mean that he was not teaching Paul's gospel. Beautiful sentence. He uses unifying language. He's using some Jewish language. And this is what throws off the Acts 28:28 theorists. He's using Jewish language. Why is he talking like a Jew sometimes? Why is he using Abraham? It's a unifying thing because he is pulling some Jews into his message. He is. And he's letting the Gentiles know, I'm legit. Peter likes me. Didn't get my message from him, but Peter does like me. He was teaching the new message from the moment he was called by Jesus in Acts 9 on the way to Damascus. How can we sit here today and parse his words as if to explain him or analyze him? Perhaps these current teacher/preachers would have done it differently. Yeah, it's the old thing where if I was God, I would not have confused people by using Israelite language or by calling some Israelites into my message or by using Abraham as an example of somebody who believes by faith. And yet, hey, my money is on Paul's approach. That's a quote, but I wish I had thought of that. My money is on Paul's approach. Yeah, Paul's approach, that's the best approach because it's Paul. To finish the email, yes, the new gospel became more mature and clear as time went on. My own understanding came slowly at first and then bloomed in full realization. That made it so dear and clear to me. God bless. Thank you so much for that email. And I want to hear from you again. Send me your emails. Send me your tired, huddled masses yearning to breathe free. You have a home here because I am I'm in this with you. We're in the same boat. We're in the ark of salvation to be delivered out of the coming indignation. We are in Paul's gospel. I told you I would never let you forget it, even while we delve into the Revelation series. Thank you for being with me. I remain Martin Zender, your host, into scriptural extravaganzas every day. Let us not forget. Let us not forget our message. Let us not forget in the storms of life, and there's rain here right now in Fort Lauderdale, lightning and thunder this morning. Whenever I hear the thunder boom and the lightning flash, I thank God that I'm on his side. That deity that sends the thunder and the lightning, that has the power over it, that's my Father. Isn't that nice to know? It's very comforting to know that the one who has all power in heaven and on earth is our intimate friend. He's our Father. We can count on him. He loves us, and his love never fails.